It happened in the days of Ahasuerus, that Ahasuerus, who reigned over 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, in those days when King Ahasuerus occupied the royal throne in the fortress Shushan, in the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all the officials and courtiers. The administration of Persia and Media, the nobles and the governors of all the provinces in his service. For no fewer than 180 days, he displayed the vast riches of his kingdom and the splendid glory of his majesty. Oh, hello, friends. This is Hardy White. So I've been asked by my friend to help with a Purim spiel this year. What is that? That is a play that is performed on the Jewish holiday of Purim, which it is. And so I'm going to go over now to Temple Beth Bohu and help out and meet with the folks over there. So join me, won't you? Well, hello. Hello, everybody. So Rabbi Baby asked me to help with the Purim spiel this year because I have a little experience with plays since I wrote one last week. And he thought that might be useful, my limited experience. So first of all, does anyone else have any theater or acting experience?
I do. I wrote and performed in a play for my company last year called Why Do We Care About Sales Figures in a Limited Competition Market? Lots of comic misunderstandings, modeled loosely on Shakespeare's Twelfth Night.
I was in a youth production of O Calcutta.
I'm pretending to be Jewish.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. I converted on the way here.
How's that possible?
Well, they got a drive-through service now. Did the Hatafah Dom Brit through the driver's side window. Awkward.
Okay, anyway, we all more or less know the Purim story, which is found in the Megillah of Esther.
Excuse me. Can I go ahead and get the Megillah Gorilla joke out of the way now?
Okay, yeah, sure.
All right, that was it.
Okay, so it's pretty straightforward. We need a King Ahasuerus, a Mordecai, an Esther, and a Haman.
Boo! Boo!
Oh, very good. It's traditional to boo when someone says the name Haman.
No, we were booing because you left out the eunuchs.
We don't really need them on stage. Oh.
We usually have eunuchs in our production, and it's because Mr. Mizrahi, he usually plays them, and he talks in this high-pitched voice, and it gets a huge laugh.
All right, well, we'll get to that later. May I interject for a moment? I think what we need to do this year is a theme.
Oh,
yes.
Very good.
Okay, people do that on Purim. It's supposed to be lighthearted. It's even a mitzvah to get a little drunk.
Can we get a jump on that?
I brought some Slivovitz. Anybody?
Hit me.
I think the drinking can wait. Let's just discuss the play.
I think in honor of the passing of Leonard Nimoy of blessed memory, we should have a Star Trek theme.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I imagine Ahasuerus being Captain Kirk, and Spock is Mordecai.
Oh.
All right. And Esther is Uhuru. Well, that's not bad. Who is Haman? A Klingon?
Boo!
Boo! You're not booing Haman, are you?
No, we're booing Klingon. It's got to be a specific character.
How about Evil Spock?
What Evil Spock?
From the episode where there's two alternate realities and there's an Evil Kirk, an Evil Spock.
How about all the characters are Spock?
I love it.
I think that would be confusing. I'm not going against the theme idea, but maybe Star Trek is too difficult. What's a better fit?
Lost in Space.
Danger.
No, Lord of the Rings. Haman is Gollum.
Well, so who is Esther?
Gangamit. Gnangamil.
What's her name?
Galilamai.
Well, we could look it up later.
And how about the hobbits are all on their knees like Tim Conway's dork?
How about a Carol Burnett theme play? Listen, this is getting a little confusing. Maybe we should just stick to the traditional form. So, who will be our king?
Excuse me. I have a great deal of management experience, so I think I'm a natural fit.
Fine. Yeah. I would like to play a woman, please. Can I be Vashti, the first wife?
I want to be Haman because I'm Persian.
You are not.
I am, too, on my grandmother's side. Not Persian. What am I thinking? Prussian.
Well, that's...
No, not Prussian. I mean Irish.
Okay. Let's have all the characters be racial stereotypes.
Good idea. Pass the Slivovitz, boyo. Okay.
I think that's a very, very bad idea.
As long as I can be Vashti.
Is that like Vashti Narada from Doctor Who?
Let's have all the characters be puns.
Or a Doctor Who theme.
Haman is the master.
And
Ahasuerus is Rassilon.
And Esther is Sarah Jane.
And Mordecai is the Brigadier.
So there'd be no actual Doctor Who in it.
It's implied. Do you know that the word God doesn't appear in the Book of Esther?
I did know that.
Well, think about it.
That's a good point, I guess. But let's just focus here. So we're also going to need costumes and all.
I have my own dress.
All right. Well, that's good. I have a crown that I got at a hamburger place.
Well, that's fine. They don't need to be fancy or anything. Again, it's a lighthearted thing. It doesn't even have to. Excuse me, though, friends. I need to go take a break for a minute. Oh, my friends. I can't believe I got myself into this. I'm going to sneak off with the Slivovitz here. Just excuse me. I'm sorry. I know it's a little early to start drinking. But I tell you what, I get so frustrated. I want to be all things to everybody. Run away. But I can't always, you know. I also told the Hindu temple I'd be over there because it's also holy. Holy Mubarak Ho. So it's got that holiday, too. I got to remember to change my tweed jacket before I go over to the Hindu temple, though. And here I am trying to work with these folks at the other temple and trying to get their Purim spiel together. And, oh, I tell you, I just feel inadequate for all jobs. Oh, my friends, I have good intentions. All I want to really do is express myself. What does that mean, to wrap yourself up and mail yourself in an envelope overnight? No, it means to take your heart and crush it in a press and so that oil comes out. And then that oil is your love of mankind and you can anoint others with it. Or you can just put it on their face as a way of moisturizing it. A lot of times, people, ladies and gentlemen, will want to take good care of their skin because your skin is an outward reflection of who you are inside. If you're, let's say you're on fire inside, your skin will be burning. Except that everything that you do see on the outside of a person is dead. Isn't it? Skin, nails, teeth, hair, everything you actually see is dead. Oh, and I don't mean like, it's dead cells and everything. That's what you're really seeing is the outer part of a person. And the inner part, the reason we don't see that is because it's disgusting. If we were able to see through people, I think we'd be even more unlikely to identify with them. Oh, that's why I look for common ground to all people. I don't like to make any assumptions about your race, your religion, your hair color, the hat you're wearing. The hat you're wearing says a lot, though. I got to tell you, can't get past that. Certain styles of hat, I'm going to look at you and say, really? No, I'm through judging. Although, it is not necessarily wrong to judge others, I don't believe. We do that all the time. It's the way we compare ourselves. It's the way that we determine our values. Judging is not the problem. It's all this convicting and sentencing. That's the problem. If you just keep your opinions to yourself, oh, bless you, I can't, though. I open my mouth. The minute you open your mouth, you make a commitment, then people can hold you to stuff. That's why I like to say mostly nonsense, because I'm a coward. Also, I pretend that there's some kind of philosophical reason for it. Oh, I'm speaking nonsense because I think that's the way to change the world. In reality, I don't want anybody to know what I believe, because I'm sure it's foolish. So don't you have any courage of your convictions? Again, I'm against actually convicting folks. I find it difficult to sit on juries because A, hemorrhoids, B, I'm claustrophobic. And by that I mean any space. It doesn't mean I could be in a airplane hangar and feel like the walls are closing in on me. I've been on the open seas and thought this is just a little too confining. Well, it is on a boat. And I think that comes from the fact that I am trapped in my body. And I really feel like that sometimes, like a little tiny man living in my head. And I'm operating this robot. It's like, you stole that from Doctor Who. No, Doctor Who stole it from the consciousness of people. Everything, all these ideas that we see come from people. And we're all feeling very similar things. Now, not everybody feels the same thing. Some of you are inured to different things. You are calloused. And I am too. I know my hands are. What are they calloused from? Different things. Lifting weights. I used to lift weights because I thought, oh, if my biceps are bulging, that must be some indication of my strength and virility. Look at this. You can see the cephalic vein on my bicep. Aren't you impressed? No. It just looks like you do manual labor. In the old days, the rich folks wanted to look like they didn't do anything. So they'd get big and fat and pale, and that was an indication that you didn't have to pull your own weight. If you were muscular and tan, it meant you have to go out there and work, and you're a big loser. Now it's the other way around. The rich people go and get tan and buff, and then working people end up sitting in a factory or on their butt all day, and they get heavy and pale. Isn't that interesting? It's just everything's flipped around. Oh, I'll tell you what. That's why it's difficult to just judge people by looking at them. You have to talk to them for 5 minutes. Then you go, okay, I know you're not my type of person. They got what they call speed dating, where you sit down with somebody and you just take a whiff of them. You go, yes or no? No. Pheromones are not there. I would know it. You would smell to me like gardenias if we were a match. I don't know how they do modern matchmaking. They used to just guess. Say, I think you're roughly the same height, 20 years age difference, whatever, get together, same background. But I tell you, sometimes it takes more than that. There is a Balzac story called The Racket and the Something. Oh, I should really do my research. I just read it, too. It's about an artist who sees a beautiful woman, and her family does something with cloth. I don't know exactly. And so they're in kind of different classes of people. He's a world traveler artist, and she is the humble daughter of a cloth master. Is that a word? I forget what it is. I know there's a textiler, maybe. And so he's attracted to her because she's beautiful, and he makes a beautiful painting of her, and finally the family agrees, yes, it'd be a wonderful match. Well, it doesn't last because they have nothing in common. She is from a different world than he is. And you'd see this on Star Trek, which we mentioned earlier. Sometimes you people from a different world and say, that's not where my genitals are, because I'm from another planet. And we move them around there. And say, oh, okay, so maybe we won't be a good fit, but we can still love one another. No, my people do not love. They bite off faces and things like that. Okay, fine then. I don't know why we were set up by this dating service. I think because we all have hope, don't we? We all hold out hope that we're going to make these connections with one another. And I find it interesting that some of us, we long to be connected with one another, but then we find out lots of reasons not to be. Oh, we get so jealous. We would gladly puff them up. Is that what I meant? I don't mean like shoot them with air. You need puffing up. No, that has a bad connotation. That means you're bragging or something. We gladly lift someone up, buoy them. I've said that before. Buoy them, lift them up if we think that their self-esteem is low. But if they come to us with good self-esteem, we feel the need to deflate it a little bit. Who do you think you are? Oh, I think I'm maybe good at what I do. I'm a good writer. No, you need to be more humble. You're not that great. Oh, I'm not that great. Oh, come on now. Cheer up. Yes, you are. Oh, I am. No, you're not. It's very difficult. We do this to each other constantly. And now, this is what social media is for almost exclusively. It's if you're down, they'll lift you up. If you're up, they'll put you down. And I guess that's we all think there's some sort of happy medium. I tell you, future. But there might not be. Who knows?
It's difficult to be inside people's heads. That's why you can judge all you want. That seems harmless. But boy, the minute you say you are going to ego prison. What's ego prison? That's we're going to lock you up so that you stop saying you're better than others. Well, some of us are better than others at some things. What am I better than you at? Probably nothing. See, I'm just saying that. Secretly, I think maybe I'm better at something. I'm trying to think what it is. Not stamp collecting. I have one. I still have one. I started when I was 12, and I still just have that one stamp. That has not worked out. I had high hopes. You know, I bought all the books and everything like that. Same with coins. So I'm going to collect coins. One. And I never get past that. I guess if I had done it over the years, can you imagine how much I would have now if I was actively collecting something? But I just can't get up a good collection. I'm too whimsical. I just do things on whims. I get excited by something. I'm going to buy up all the... I'm going to be in classical music. So buy up 5 classical music albums. That's my collection. And then I'm on to something else. And you know, really, by the time that you really arrive on something, you're gone anyway. Life is so short, I don't know how to plan for it. Maybe I shouldn't. I tell you, every time I want to get some sort of a plan, I start questioning myself. And maybe that's because we are the questioning species. Why are we? I don't know. See, look, it just stops you in your tracks. But those who are sure of themselves, oh my goodness. That's why I like maybe to glom on to other traditions and their holidays and everything. Maybe it'll tell me something. And if you come at it, if you're not used to a thing, maybe it's a story that's not from your tradition. It sort of opens up more doors, doesn't it? Like that. And just like the Cinderella, is it what religious tradition is that from? I don't remember. I think Presbyterians or something, isn't it? How's that go? Cinderella, she's got an angry mother. That might be another one. Cinderella, she's with a stepmother or in foster care or something. And there's other children. It's really awful. It's about emotional abuse and everything. But she's delivered because she meets royalty. So what it is that you will always be delivered from injustice and from abuse by very wealthy people if you are attractive. So that's a kind of a strange story. Yeah, see, the ugly sisters are doomed. But the beautiful one, she can be rescued by somebody, by one of these, like a prince or somebody from a group of people who are superior. So I don't know about that one. Is there another story like Sleeping Beauty? That one I don't remember at all. I think she goes to, I get that confused with Snow White. There's an angry queen or some old lady's mad at her and it's going to poison her. This happens all the time around. I live in Kentucky, so that's really just ripped from the headlines. We're making pies? That's right out of the newspaper. A woman did that. So the little men are not here? No, they're in the mines. See, it's an Eastern Kentucky story. And they're not really dwarves. They're on their knees because it's so narrow down there. I learned that from reading books. I'll tell you what, if you read George Orwell, he's got a book, A Road to Wigan Pier, and that's about going and living with people working the coal mines. Now, granted, I think it's whales, but what's the difference, right? They're both east of me, but there's a lot more to telling stories than just princes and princesses and things like that. That said, I'm going to tell you the Purim story as best I can remember. And isn't that terrible? You know, a lot of stories are passed down. It's a good thing that the Bible's written out, because if I was just trying to remember it, it wouldn't go well at all, would it? I got to have this reference. I would say, there's an Adam and somebody and something with an apple and something. That's how I tell a story. My mother would do that too. She goes, I heard a funny joke. What was it? I don't remember. What's the punchline? I don't remember. What was the joke about? I don't remember. Really, how do you know it was funny? I remember laughing. Isn't that the way with life, though? We remember our emotion better than we remember details. Maybe we don't have to remember
detail so much. Maybe it's best just to remember I laughed. I survived. I was okay. And so, here's a story about, it's in the book of Esther. Now, it's also called the Megillah Esther because it's a little scroll. Oh, isn't that interesting? I wish books came like that now in little scroll. I wouldn't mind reading something in a scroll form. The newspaper's still in an inconvenient form, right? So why not? We read scrolls. I think it'd be very interesting. Libraries would look different, wouldn't they? You wouldn't have shelves like that necessarily. Your libraries would look like, it'd look like a wine rack. So I'm going to pull out this scroll here. Whatever form something arrives at, stuff builds up around it. You think? You see, you take it for granted that, oh, all books are just look like in book form. But that's not always the case. They used to be written in different ways. They'd be written on scrolls. Sometimes some cultures would just write them on human skulls. And then libraries would just be like a series of hat boxes with heads in them. Oh, and okay, look at that. I actually took that right from, that's stolen also. Every time I think I have a good idea, it's from Land of the Lost. They had a library of skulls, and you stick a skull up there, and it talks to you. What would you like to know about? I would like, hello, Land of the Lost Skull. Hello, Hardy. What can I do for you today? Oh, I don't know, ancient dead Sleestak. Could you please tell me the Purim story? I would be delighted. Want to know something? Yeah, what is it? You want to know how I talk without lips? I was thinking about that. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, even your jaw's moving a little bit. I know, but no lips. That must be some sort of ventriloquism. Or it's all in your head. You know what that mist is? Oh, it's making me feel woozy. It's woozy mist. Well, here's the thing now. So the skull, well, you want me to tell it or not? Let me tell it, because your voice is hard to understand on the radio. You need a clearer announcer voice like I have. I have one of these voices just made for radio, I think. We're BBC World Service, as of now, the news is read by John Titmouse or whatever. Doesn't it sound just like that? I have that BBC English that they speak. It's standard. I speak what they call standard English. And you say, well, I detect a slight accent. Yes. It's Bermuda. So here's the thing. So there's a King Ahasuerus, and he wants to have a big party. You know, I really don't want to, I feel like I'm going to sound like Andy Griffith. There's a king, and he spilled his big orange drink. Well, there's a king, and he had a party, and he wanted to have a big celebration. It goes on and on for days. It's like one of those Oscar after parties. Lots of drugs and alcohol and everything. And the king's sitting there and he says, I'd like to, you know, where's my wife? And they say, well, she's at a special ladies-only party. He said, well, tell her to get here. Her name is Vashti. He says, tell Vashti to come over. I'd like her to dance, do the shimmy-shimmy dance, or one of them, or Gangnam Style. Remember that from 10 years ago? No, I think it was a year ago. Things go by so fastly now, don't they? Fastly. That's not a word. Quickly and fast. I actually said both words, but I said them so fastly you thought they were two. So Vashti, so send for Vashti. So they send off somebody, I think a eunuch. Now, why they use these eunuchs so much, I don't know. Because what can they threaten them with? You know, do that or I'll rip your testicles off. Too late. What are you going to threaten now? I don't know. No food. Ooh, the eunuchs grow big and fat for some reason. I think it's like caponizing a chicken. You don't caponize a chicken, you caponize a rooster. Thank you very much, farm boy. People know what I'm talking about. So, the rooster goes, see what you've done? Goes and asks Vashti, and Vashti says, no, I'm not coming. So he goes back and goes, oh, King Ahasuerus, I'm so sorry, Vashti will not be here. And the king says, well, that sucks, because I was hoping she would, and I told a business partner that my wife would be here. And he says, well, maybe she's a witch. Maybe she can make a double of herself, or maybe Gazoo can make a robot Vashti.
I think I'm confusing some Hanna-Barbera things here. Anyway, this does not happen. So Vashti doesn't show up. So he's very angry. And he goes, that's it. That's it. I want to get rid of her. It's not clear whether they kill her or divorce her or whatever, but she disappears out of the story. I think that's just because most congregations don't have that many people to put on their Purim spiel. And the ancestors anticipated that. So let's not have too many characters here. And I think they had like 7 eunuchs. That's not going to happen unless you have a very big congregation. He says, well, I'm going to put out an ad for a new wife. I want you to set me up a new profile on the online. Did they have the internet back then? Yes. I'm just going to say they did. Because I want to modernize it a little bit. Because you don't remember, a time, there used to be a time when a king would have to make a proclamation and go out and announce to everybody. And it was tedious because he'd have to, yell it in the, and he didn't yell it. He got a special yeller. But that's, now Facebook is our special yeller. And it yells things at people. I'm enjoying this sandwich! Like that. I'm sad! Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm better now! Oh, all right. I'm sad again! I'm better! Oh, man, I can't comment fast enough to keep up with it. I should have checked the date of your mood. So, they had a contest. Or like a one of these America's Got Beauty Talent. And so this girl named Esther, she says, I'm going to apply for that. She's living with her uncle Mordecai. This is way before the movie with Johnny Depp, which I don't think has anything to do with that. And she said, I'm going to apply for this job as like the slave wife of the king. I think that would be a good career move. Mordecai's like, oh, I don't know. That's an iffy thing. Be careful. Also, you know we're Jewish. And she said, what? I had no idea. I thought I was named after Aunt Esther on Sanford and Son. And he said, well, yes, but still. I guess we're Ethiopian Jews, but we're in Persia. Look, don't confuse things. You go do this if you want, but be careful. So he sees her, and she's, of course, she's beautiful. This Esther, even though her name's Esther, which is not, you'd think her name would be something Anna, Alininiana, or something like that. But it's Esther. So she impresses the king, and he's like, I'll take a couple of those. And he goes, well, there's only one. Okay, whatever. Go take her, get her fixed up, which I guess takes months. Go put makeup on her, takes a long time. Well, there's another guy in the court. His name's Haman, and he's jealous of everybody. And he's the meanie. Now, he's the bad guy in the story. And when you tell the story in a Purim spiel, everybody's supposed to make noise with these grokkers and drown out the name of Haman because nobody wants to remember it. But you have to remember it because you can't forget the past. So you got to remember it and drown it out at the same time. Isn't that interesting? That seems very mystical. I will remember and unremember this thing. So Haman, he's conniving all the time. And the Mordecai, one time, overhears him plotting against the king. So he's like, well, this is no good. I gotta tell somebody. And meanwhile, Haman has it out for Mordecai and wants to have him put to death. He says, that's it. I'm going to go to the king again to put to death. So he gets to the king, and the king goes, whatever. The king doesn't pay attention much. And he said, okay, go ahead and put him to death. I'm like that, too, if I'm working on something. Hey, Hardy, should we execute this person? Yeah, I'm busy. Go ahead. So Mordecai says, well, you got to talk to the king. And she says, well, you can't just do that. Well, aren't you his wife? Yeah, but you can't just go and talk to him. He's a busy man. So please, please do it. So make a long story short, end of the story. No, that's too short. So she goes and she talks to him, but she gets herself prepared. So she says everything with a good open heart. She's not just doing it
you know, out of spite or something, or just out of a sense of loyalty. She wants to tell the truth. It's very important. So she goes to the king and she says, you know, this Haman is actually a bad guy plotting against you. Mordecai's all right. He's with me. And so she said, so he's saying, so I should not destroy all the Jews, because that's what I was going to do. And she goes, no, 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 no. That's not a good idea. Don't do that. And he says, well, you know, Haman says it's Mordecai and all the Jews that don't bow down to me. And she says, well, that's gets complicated, but blah, 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 God, everything. So he says, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. First, I'll kill Haman, which would be that would be my pleasure. That's just an extra I'm throwing in. That's like when you order a suit and I throw in an extra pair of pants. You get a Haman killing. Not a vest. The vest you're going to have, that's $60 more. So she arranges this and says, you know what? I can't undo a decree because it's a royal decree. And I said, kill all the Jews everywhere. But I'll tell you what, I'll let you fight for your survival. And she says, all right, we'll take that. Now, I was once told that this was the most important Jewish holiday. A rabbi told me, I said, that cannot be. Because I thought, like, Yom Kippur was the most important holiday. And he said, well, if you're not alive, it doesn't matter, does it? If you're all gone, if you're wiped off the face of the earth, you can't really have any holidays. So isn't the most important thing, you know, to survive? I said, well, I guess you're right. So that's the minimum. And to celebrate being alive. Is that not the most important thing? Everything else comes after that. So this is what I took away from it. This is my interpretation, and just mine, nobody else's. But it seems to me that it's all symbolic, that the king seems to be the universe, which is indifferent to men. The universe is just a universe of consequences. One thing happens, right or wrong, and a series of other things happen. All we can do is be open, and the universe will let us participate in it. And so that's it. It seems to me that what you can do is do what you can do. Oh, that doesn't seem very satisfying. So there's no free will. There's free-ish will. There's do what you will. Things are going to happen. There's going to be consequences. But you can celebrate being alive. And that's all I want you to do. I'm trying to just bring you some happiness and say, hey, we're alive for a little while. And there's no guarantee you're going to live forever. There's no guarantee you're going to live for tomorrow. So there's no point of being crappy to your fellow man. Everybody's find a reason to be angry and irritated. And I'm looking for a reason to have a party and be joyful. All I want to do is bring joy to y'all. All I want to do is see frowns turn to smiles. I know there's agony in life. I know there's injustice in life. I feel it too. I know there's frustrations. We get sick. People we love get sick. We see them on their deathbed. How can this be? Oh, Lord, how can this be? Is there no justice in the universe that a child should be sick and die? Is there no justice that somebody should starve or be homeless on the street? Is there no justice that a man should be persecuted because of the color of his skin or because of what he believes or what's in his heart or who he loves or who she loves? That should be persecuted or even killed, that people should be burned out of their homes. Can that be? And the universe says, look, I don't know. All I can do is give you an attitude and find the happiness where you can. I know these things aren't going to stop. We can try to stop them, work towards it, and then take those moments that aren't tragic, the times when you're not dying, and try to keep your heart up. Don't find reasons to be miserable, Hardy. Find reason to have joy, Hardy.
Find reasons to clap your hands together. Find reasons to be silly. Find reasons to make little plays and little poems. You can tell I'm not a professional at this. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just this person that they put on the radio, and I thought, what am I going to say to my fellow man if I have a microphone in front of me? And all I can possibly think to say is, try to have a little joy in your heart when you can. I understand things are rough and they're bad. Oh, we get lonely. Sometimes our brains even revolt on us. Our brains are revolting, aren't they? I used to write for Wizard of Id. I did not. I'm lying. But I tell you, but he used to say, hey, the peasants are revolting. And the king would go, yeah, I know. They disgust me. I hate the poor. I may be misremembering that. I hope I'm not. I'm sorry, Johnny Hart. But I tell you what. Oh, a Johnny Hart. That's like a portable heart that you go out to. Like if you're at the fairground, you say, I've left my own heart at home, but I really got to take, I have to go. Say, well, get into the Johnny Hart. I won't tip it over. There won't be disgusting memories and pain that gets on you, give you dysentery of the soul. I'm going to try to uplift you, and I'm going to be your Glade spray. I know that there's still lingering odors, cooking smells, and pet odors of poo and all in the air from the cat doing it on the inside, but I just want to be that what is that? That's fresh sheets. It does smell like fresh sheets. What's the smell of fresh sheets? Detergent. What's the smell of detergent? Fresh sheets. I don't know. It's sort of a paradox, is it? I don't know, predestination paradox involving smells. But I tell you, if I could do that, just mask the odor, I know I can't go away. But I just want to be something. A lot of times when people are smelling death in other cultures, oh, there's just be a mass die-off because of a plague. People would hold something good-smelling, a pocket full of roses or posies or whatever. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down. You got to hold something up to your... Rosemary is good to cover the smell of death. Take a bunch of rosemary, hold it in front of your head, you hold it in front of your head, particularly under your nose. I want to be a bunch of flowers that you shove up your nostrils so that you feel less fear. Please stick me in your nose like a wad of mint. It's not going to make the decay and the death go away, but it will help a little bit. And I'm not going to satisfy all of your needs for information. I'm not going to satisfy all your needs for humor. I'm not going to satisfy all your needs for anything. I'm just a simple person with limitations. But I think it's very important to know that there's at least somebody else out there who realizes that there's no simple answers. There's no magic pill. Well, I'm not going to... There is, but I don't want you to buy them all up. I have to leave some for me. No, there is no magic pill. There is... It's a shot you have to get. And that shot you can only get from another human being. You know, I'll tell you something in the Jewish tradition that appeals to me. It's the idea of a minion. What's the minion? A man onion? No, that's a Bermuda citizen, is a man onion. No, a minion is 10 people. 10 people are required to do certain things. And one of the most important things is to say the Kaddish, which is like, it's not really a prayer for the dead. It's more like a, what do they call it? Doxology or something? That's not the right word. A praise, all right? And the reason that you have to have 10 people to say it, why is that? Why can't you say it alone? Very mysterious. Why 10? I don't know exactly. But this is what I think. And you have to have 10 to read the Torah and everything too, out loud. Why is that? Well, I think it's the minimum amount of people to make you not feel alone in the world. Because you get the examples of everybody. Just the two of us, it's still hard. You still feel like I'm an individual. Three, I don't know. I still,
the group gets big enough, and you say, you know what? Maybe I'm part of something larger. Maybe I've been staring into my own navel a little too much. Maybe there's other people around here. Maybe there's some diversity. Maybe I fit in. Maybe I'm more like a brain cell than a brain. Maybe I'm more like a leaf than a tree. Maybe I'm part of something. And you dissipate a little bit. And your heart, which could crush itself, which could start to collapse in on itself like a star does, and become a black hole. Instead, it explodes and expands, and the light goes out throughout the universe, and all your hearts join together and make a large sun that burns forever, because we're all together in this. Man and woman and child, all the families of the earth, all the people look different. All your silly beliefs, all the things you eat that are different, all your different traditions. We have one thing in common, we're creatures, and we're all walking this creature earth together. Let's not forget that. Oh, is it possible to have compassion for everybody? I don't know. I don't know. I feel angry a lot, and I lash out because I'm an idiot. I cannot pretend I'm not. I could never pretend I'm a holy person. I just can't do it. I can't be that calm. Oh, they walk around with that look on their face like everything's calm like that. I can't do that. A lot of times I got the intestinal cramps. I know I'm going to get diarrhea because I saw something very upsetting. I know that I'm going to get a little agitated because I saw something very upsetting. I saw somebody run a stop sign, almost hit a car full of children. And I did that, and I cursed. I said, you jerkies. I didn't say that, man. I said a lot of other things. I can't do that. I'm just a wreck. I'm just a burning, crazy star that's going to eventually burn out. And out of context, it seems tragic. And then I look out from my place in the universe as that tiny star, and I suddenly see other stars. And I say, I'm not a star. I'm also part of a galaxy. And then the galaxy looks out and sees other galaxies and says, I'm not just a galaxy. I'm part of the universe. And then the universe looks out and goes, oh, crap, I'm all alone. And then another bubble universe says, no, you're not. There's infinite possibilities in other universes. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Is there a universe where Hardy White knows what he's talking about? No. Oh, I've just destroyed everything. There might not be. I don't know. Is there a universe where any of us know what we're doing or talking about? I don't know. It isn't this one. I know what it isn't. It's like art. I know what art is. But I don't, when I see it, like porn, no, I don't know what I'm talking about. I find it very difficult once I look at something to sort of, you know at the time, you feel comfortable unless you step back one step and take a look at it and say, you know, maybe it is a little more mysterious than I think it is. Oh, if you're feeling lost or lonely today, friend, maybe I can lift you up. Maybe I can lift you up with a song. What's a song going to be about? Oh, if you can't get... wrong key. If you can't get drunk on Purim, act drunk. If you can't get drunk on Purim, just act drunk. Like they do on the TV show, where they tell you stories from the past. Are they really that drunk? Yes, because they throw up. I love you, in spite of your crazy political beliefs. I love you, in spite of your crazy social beliefs. I love you, despite your opinion of later Miles Davis. I love you, I love you, I love you, 'cause I don't really know you well. I love you, 'cause I can't see you rolling your eyes. I love you, 'cause I can't hear your criticisms about my shortcomings and my lack of consistency.
I love you, despite you. I love you, cause I think it's a better delusion than hating you. It's no less logical. It's no less not based on evidence. It's no less crazy. So I love you. Oh, I love you, my friend. I love you. I love you. And if that's gonna make you feel better, then let it. You don't know me, I don't know you. You don't love me, but that doesn't matter. I love you, I love you, I love you. Not in a weird way, not in a demanding way. I require nothing from you, except please don't kill me. And if you are up for a more detailed version in a more complex situation, I'd also appreciate if you don't hurt me. Please don't hurt my feelings. Is it really necessary? Every time you criticize somebody, think for a minute, is it really necessary? Are you just trying to kick the dog so you feel better? Is that justice? Is it justice to make fun of somebody? Is it justice to criticize an artist? Is it justice to put somebody down even though you never met him? Could you look in the eyes of somebody you don't like? I mean, somebody whose art you don't like, and tell them you hate them. Yet people do it all the time. Say, I hate a certain artist. I hate a certain musician. I hate a certain politician. Why can't you go to their house? Look at them in the eyes when they're holding a baby. Tell them you hate them. Tell them all their choices are nothing. You wish they'd never lived. Can you do that? Would you like it done to you?
You say, yeah, I have thick skin.
Well, guess what? I don't. My skin is thin. I tell you, if I was playing with other musicians, it'd be a problem. Because my timing is not good. So I play with myself. You go ahead and laugh. Go ahead and make a joke in the comment section when I post something serious on Facebook. Go ahead and laugh at me. Go ahead and pun. Go ahead and pretend you don't understand. Go ahead and do it. Just understand. Everything has its consequences.
Do I treat others like I'd like to be treated? What's the point of the Bible?
It says, treat your neighbor as yourself. But first it says, don't have a grudge or seek revenge. That's a very important part of it. Don't have a grudge or seek revenge. Let things go, let it go, let it snow, let it go. Don't hate a song because it's popular. Don't hate a performer because they're popular. Don't hate things because they're popular. Don't just like unpopular things because you think that everybody else is a sheep. Why call a man a sheep? Would you call a man a pig? Would you call a man a pig? Pigs are smarter than sheep, but you call people sheep. Call them sheeple. Call people all sorts of names because their political beliefs are different than yours. Well, maybe they're dumb. If someone's dumb, do you make fun of them? If someone's a child, do you make fun of them for not knowing the alphabet? If they're three, come on, think about it with me. Would you condemn somebody for what they don't know? Or would you try to teach them what they don't know? How do you best teach somebody? By berating them? You teach somebody by insulting them? Learn this, dummy! 2 times 2 is 4, you idiot! 2 times 4 is 8, you pig! 8 times 6 is...
Well, let me tell you, my friend, that's why I try to be gentle with everybody. Because I would love them to be gentle with me. Maybe I'm a coward, you know? Maybe I'm a child. Maybe I should get tougher or something. Maybe I should succumb to violence. Maybe I should use violence to solve my problems, emotional and physical. Maybe I should just hop on that train like everybody else. But you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna purify my heart. I'm gonna go up to Ahasuerus and I'm gonna say, please spare those lives. And he'll he'll say, you know what? Things have been set in motion. Consequences will happen, but they can be mitigated. Mitigated with action. You can try. You can try. All we can, all you can do is try, try, try. You can try, try, try. There's no guarantee you'll succeed, but you can try, try, try. I will try to love you. I will try to forgive you. I will try to do my best. I will try, try, try. I will try not to bore you. I will try not to insult you. I will try not to do those things. I may not succeed. I'll tell you what. It's so good to have anybody pay attention to you. I know that a lot of times there's people out there, maybe an artist, you're on the radio, and you say, you know, no one's listening to me. And you forget that one person who came up to you at the show and said, I really like your music. And you discount it a little bit because that person seemed kind of odd. And you go, oh, great. I'm a hero to some weird nerd or something. But let me tell you something. It's better to affect one heart. It's better to move one brain than none. And those who might be known by a lot, known by many, are not necessarily changing things. Who's a better gardener? The person who walks out into the dirt and weeds the garden and cares for it and tends to it? Or the guy who has a TV show about gardening? Now he can tell you all the things that you have to do to grow big fat tomatoes. But only one person can actually go out into a physical garden and fertilize those tomatoes and water them and care for them. Right? I can tell you all night long how to do something. And that doesn't make me important. It's the person who does it that's important. You matter as an individual. And I'm sorry. That's not funny. It's funny in a way, but butthole. I just had to throw that in there and say, oh, there you go. Now you're back to comedy. Oh, life goes back and forth. It vacillates. It does. It shakes back and forth. Everything is like a wave. Everything is like, it's vibrating and moving like that. That makes the universe. The universe came into being because there was just a single nothing. And that nothing was sitting around and said to itself, I wish there was something. And the minute that happened, everything got set off in a chain reaction. And something is just starts going. And now something has happened. And there's just really something and nothing. Something is everything. Nothing is nothing. There's only really two numbers. Right? One and all the rest of the numbers. That's two. Oh, bless your heart. I can't believe that you give me your attention every week. Well, not every week. Yeah, okay, well, when you can. Well, I haven't listened in a long time. Well, that you know what? But you go around telling people that the one show you heard was good. Actually, I've been telling people that some of them are weak. Okay, that's all right. That's I don't mind. But I like the one. That's good. Good. When was that? Oh, 3 years ago. Okay. All right. So I've done like 100 and some since then. Yeah, not my cuppa. All right. That's fine. That's fine too. Hey, we can't be all things to all people. Well, some can. It's just it's you. All right. Okay. So I should just quit and go away. No, no. Come on. Have some confidence. So I'm good at this. No. See, we all go through that, friends. Oh, I think it's just natural that human beings want to be special. They really, really want to be the best at something. It's just so, it hurts so much to think that you failed at something or somebody's thinking you're not good or that you're the worst. Oh, I know some of you. If you ask people,
There's a lot of people will tell you, oh, yes, PE was humiliating. I was the fattest, slowest kid. Now, this is just not statistically possible. The more people claim to be absolutely terrible and to be the lowliest of the low in PE class than it can possibly be. You know what I'm saying? A lot of it is perception. Because the minute we start comparing ourselves to others, you just feel like you're getting a wedgie. Because you're not the strongest. And you're not the smartest. And that's, and so, well, somebody is. Somebody is in the moment. But even they're not forever the strongest or smartest. Look at some of these athletes. At the moment, you can be the strongest man on earth. But is Magnus Fair Magnuson still the strongest man on earth? No. Is Magnus still the strongest man? Yes, but that's just a coincidence of names. But really, you can be the best, but even that is temporary. And that's going to be gone. You can be the most beautiful person in the world, and that's just for the moment. The smartest person for the moment. One minute you can win a Nobel Prize, and the next minute you can be spouting nonsense like an idiot. See? Nothing is permanent, and that's on your side. Just ride those waves, get out your longboard, and run for the ocean. Get out the longboard and get on it and ride that wave. You know, at some point, no matter how good a surfer you are, you're going to fall off. Oh, but that moment when you're standing on it and you're saying, even for this second, I will make this second feel like eternity and I will ride this wave and nobody can take that away from me. I don't succeed at everything I do. And maybe I succeed at very little. And maybe I'm not even, you know, best at anything. Say, oh, you know, maybe you're the worst thing on this radio station. And you know what? I'm on the station. I'm on it. Maybe I'm the worst guy on the baseball team, but I'm on the baseball team. And I get to play. And that is exciting to me. Life may be difficult and it may be painful. But you're getting to experience something. And there may be some moment that's transcendent. Don't disregard it. Because none of it's permanent. Bless you so much. And I just want to give you some kind of comforting memory. I just want to give you something before I go. Because I'm acutely aware that I'm not going to be here forever. I'm acutely aware that my future does not include some kind of reward or greatness or anything. That my reward is that you're giving me your attention. For even a second. And you know, it doesn't have to be on the radio. If we sit down next to each other at a bus station and I say something and you smile and nod at me, you don't know how that could affect my heart. Some people have had no kindness shown to them. Oh, we have that. We can save each other. The universe has hidden what we need, the key to all our problems and our happiness in others. And you won't know who that person is that holds that key. Oh, they're anonymous and they're out there. And you don't know whose keys you hold. It's like some crazy parlor game. I hope that I've unlocked something for you, that I've made you happy in some small way. And I just want to give thanks for the chance to do that. I can't undo any bad show I've done or any stupid thing I've said. But in the spirit of Purim, maybe I can celebrate that I have an opportunity, that I have a chance. While I'm still alive, I still have a chance to do something to make some injustice better. Oh, thank you so much for listening. I'm Hardy White. You are listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, WMFU.org, and 91.9 in Blessed Rockland County.
which is the biblical model for Shushan. I thought it was Persia. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Well, thank you, friends, for listening, to giving me your ear, and I will see you again next week. Thank you so very much.
Understand. walking around with a mile around the head.
Yeah,
he knows.
He just don't know.
The trouble I see.
Glory!
Glory!
Yeah. Oh, hallelujah! Let me say one more thing. Listen. I went down. Oh, in the valley. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I did go down there to stay. Ah, yeah.
Nobody knows
the trouble.
The trouble I see.
Do you believe?
Our scripture tonight gives us the subject. What's your brand? What's your brand? We live today in a world where people just strive off of brands. Amen. People like various types of brands or commodities of different things. Amen. Some folk like Ivory soap. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. While others like Zest soap.
Yeah.
You can say amen tonight.
Right.
Some folk like, amen, Camel cigarettes. While other folk like Coos. What's your brand tonight?
Yeah.
Some folk like Maxwell House coffee.
Yeah.
While other folk like Sanka coffee. Oh, we need an amen. Amen. Some folk like beech nut chewing gum.
All right.
While other folk like spearmint.
Yeah.
Everybody has a brand.
All right.
What's your brand tonight?
Uh-huh.
Amen.
No one thing I...